Here we are, then. I hope we've been having a nice snooze.
I have been knitting, and I have dropped a stitch.
Oh, dearie, dearie me. Well, we'll soon put that right, won't we?
You will. My eyesight is not good enough.
Oh, I'm sure we can do that in a jiffy. Let's have a look at it.
Why does she have to treat me as if I were a mentally retarded child? I'm old and short-sighted, and I've had a bad attack of bronchitis. But I am still compos mentis, thank God.
There we are, dear. That's done.
Thank you.
Now, I'm just going to put on my hat and coat before I go out for a little toddle.
It's all Dr. Haydock's fault for insisting that I shouldn't go on sleeping alone in the house. And it was very good of Raymond to get someone in, if only it didn't have to be Miss Knight. Perhaps if I can think of enough things for her to do while she's having her little toddle, I might manage to slip out without her noticing.
Here we are, then. Anything I can get you while I'm out, dear?
Well, you might go into Longdon's and see if the curtains are ready. And perhaps another skein of this blue wool from Mrs. Wisley.
Ah,
and a box of black currant lozenges from the chemist's. Oh, and change my book at the library, but don't let them give you anything that isn't on my list. This last one was quite dreadful.
Oh, dearie, dearie me. Spring Sweet Passion. And I was sure you'd love it. But there's no accounting for taste.
And if it isn't too far for you, perhaps you wouldn't mind going to Hallett's to see if they have one of those up-and-down egg whisks, not the turn-the-handle kind. I hope that won't be too much for you.
Don't give it a thought. Now, you'll be a good little girl while I'm gone, won't you?
Once I was certain that she was out of sight, I slipped out of the side door, took the path through the vicarage garden, and went over the little bridge that led to the development. Aubrey Close, Langland Close, why do they have to call them that? My Uncle Edwin lived in a real close, but he was a canon of... Oh, dear.
Are you all right? I hope you haven't hurt yourself.
How very stupid of me, not looking where I was going.
There we are. No bones broken. I expect you're feeling a bit shaken.
Yes, I am, rather.
You'd better come into the house and have a sit down. I'll make you a cup of tea.
Oh, no, thank you. No sugar.
Nonsense. You must have sugar. It's wonderful for shock. I know all about it. I was abroad with ambulances during the war. 4 lumps.
Oh.
Get that down you and you'll be as right as rain.
You're very kind.
Oh, I love helping people. Regular ministering angel, that's me. Here's my husband home. Arthur! We've got a visitor.
What did you say, Heather? Good afternoon.
This poor lady fell down right outside our gate.
Your wife is very kind, Mr...
Badcock's the name. Were you on your way anywhere in particular?
No, I was just taking a walk. I live in the house by the vicarage. My name is Marple.
Well, I never. You're the lady who does all the murders.
Oh, Heather, Miss Marple
doesn't...
Well,
let's actually do the murders. It was you who solved the business up at Gossington Hall, wasn't it? The body on the library carpet.
Well, the murder wasn't actually...
And have you heard who's coming to live there now?
No, I knew that the house
Marina
was on the market.
Marina Gregg.
The film actress.
She and her husband, Jason Rudd. He's a producer, or something like that. Of course, she hasn't done many pictures lately. Well, she was ill for a long time. But there's never been anyone quite like her. Did you see Mary of Scotland?
Well, I can't...
And that other one, what was it called? Carmen something?
Carmenella.
I've always been a terrific fan of hers. The great thrill of my life was when there was a big show in aid of the St. John Ambulance in Bermuda, and Marina Gregg came to open it. I was mad with excitement. And then on the very day I went down with a temperature and the doctor said I couldn't go. But I wasn't going to be beaten. So I got up and put a lot of makeup on my face and went along. And I was introduced to her. And she talked to me for quite 3 minutes and gave me her autograph. I've never forgotten that day.
Oh, I hope that there were no unfortunate after effects.
Oh, none at all. What I say is if you want a thing, you've got to take risks. But I'm neglecting you, Miss Marple. Would you like another cup of tea?
No. Thank you. You've been very kind, but I really must be going. I wonder whether you would be so good as to ring Inch for me.
Inch?
Oh, no. He's not Inch anymore. He's called Roberts, I think. But it's still called Inch's taxi service, I believe.
Right you are, Miss Marple. And you'd like him to take you back home?
No. I think that there's just time for me to pay a quick call on Mrs. Bantry.
The lady that used to own Gossington Hall. I'll see to it straight away.
I really don't care what they do with the place. I never felt the same about it after we found that poor girl on the hearthrug. I couldn't bear to live there now, Jane. The lodge is good enough for me.
And is it true about Marina Gregg?
Oh, yes. It's quite definite. They've started moving in already.
How very lovely she was. I shall never forget those early films of hers. They were terribly sentimental, but I did enjoy them so. That was a long time ago, Dolly.
Yes, she must be... What do you think? 45?
Nearer 50, I should think.
She hasn't been in a film for a long time. She had that bad nervous breakdown after one of her divorces.
Such a lot of husbands they all have. It really must be quite tiring.
I met her when I was in California.
Oh, what was she like?
Charming. So natural and unspoiled. But I suppose that's what's expected of them. You learn how to do it.
She's had four husbands, hasn't she?
At least. There was an early one that didn't count. Before she went to Hollywood. Then there was Robert Truscott, I think. Oh, I can't remember them all. There was Isadore Wright, the novelist. They had a baby, I think. She'd always wanted a baby. But something went wrong. She had a breakdown and began to take drugs.
And now she's married again.
Yes. Jason Rudd. They're going to do a film together about Elizabeth of Austria, I believe. Anyway, you'll have a chance to see her for yourself. She's throwing the hall open to the public for a fete in aid of the St. John Ambulance Corps.
Oh, I don't think that's my kind of thing at all. And I'm sure Miss Knight would never permit it. I suppose Marina Gregg is having a lot done to the house.
So I've heard. No expense spared. They've sent me an invitation to go round there the day before the fete, a kind of private view.
Ooh.
I can't wait to see what they've done to the place.
I really can't get over it, Mrs. Bantry. It's such an amazing coincidence, meeting you like that in San Francisco, and then 2 years later we come to England and buy your house. I hope you don't feel we're intruders.
Your coming here is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to the place.
But I'm forgetting. You don't know my husband, do you? Jason, this is Mrs. Bantry.
How do you do?
A husband is always an afterthought. But let me say with my wife that we're very glad to welcome you here. I hope you don't feel it ought to be the other way around.
You really must get it out of your heads that I'm being driven from my old home. I've been congratulating myself ever since I sold it. And I've had a perfectly splendid time travelling abroad and going to see my daughters and grandchildren.
You have grandchildren?
9 to date. It's great fun being a grandmother. You don't have any of the worry of parental responsibility. You can spoil them in the most abandoned way. My youngest daughter's little girl...
Won't you have a cup of tea, Mrs. Bantry?
Oh, thank you.
And can I offer you a hot scone or a cake? You see, we've quite taken to your English afternoon tea.
It reminds me of my childhood.
Thank you. I would love a scone.
Here you are.
I do so hope you enjoy it here. Do you expect to have this house for long?
I want to stay here forever. Oh, I don't mean that I shan't have to go away a lot, but this will be my home. I shall always be able to come here. That's what's so wonderful, to have found a home at last.
Of course, the whole of St. Mary Mead descended on Gossington Hall for the open day, eager to see for themselves what the film people had done to the place. The swimming pool in particular caused great satisfaction. It was large, it was blue, and there was much speculation about the wicked orgies that would doubtless take place in and around it.
Councillor and Mrs. Philpott.
Inside the house, on the second floor, a room had been set aside for special guests, and Marina Gregg stood at the top of the staircase to receive them, while her Italian butler stood in as majordomo.
The Reverend and Mrs. Clement.
And there was one person who was certainly not going to let slip an opportunity to renew an old acquaintance.
Mr. and Mrs. Babcock.
I'm sure you don't remember me, Miss Gregg. Well, how could you, with all the people you meet? And anyway, it was years ago, in Bermuda. I was there with our ambulance units.
How very interesting.
I was only a girl at the time, and I was such a fan of yours. And when I realised there was a chance of actually meeting you in the flesh...
It's really very kind of you.
It was the most important thing that had ever happened to me. I was mad with excitement.
And two of the guests were complete strangers to St. Mary Mead. Ardwick Fenn and Lola Brewster had come all the way from Hollywood.
Well, I must say, Marina certainly knows how to do things in style.
So gracious and charming and condescending.
I guess she's getting into training for playing Elizabeth of Austria. She's certainly giving the locals their money's worth.
I wish that woman who's talking to her would stop telling her her life story. Oh, I need a drink.
Hey, what's come over Marina all of a sudden?
Hmm?
She looks like she's seen a ghost.
Never forgotten how wonderful you were that day. It was 100 times worth it.
Oh, what a nice little story, Mrs.
Badcock.
Now, let me get you a drink, Mrs. Badcock. What would you like?
Well, usually I only have a lemonade or a tomato juice.
This is a festive occasion. You must have a daiquiri cocktail. It's Marina's favourite. What about you, darling?
Oh, I've had far too many. But why not? As you say, it's a festive occasion.
Here's your breakfast tray, dear. Oh, I see we've drawn our curtains back already.
I wake early. You probably will when you're my age.
Mrs. Bantry rang up about 30 minutes ago. She wanted to speak to you, but I said she'd better try again after you'd had your breakfast.
When my friends ring up, I prefer to be told.
I'm sorry, I'm sure, but it seemed very inconsiderate. When you've had your nice tea and your boiled egg and your toast, then you can speak to her. Oh, that'll be Cherry. Why does she have to slam the door when she comes in? It's like the way she always starts singing when she turns the vacuum on. Why can't she be more respectful?
It would never enter Cherry's head that she would have to be respectful. Why should she? Come in, Cherry. And now, Miss Knight, I'd like you to ring up Mrs. Bantry and find out what she wanted. I'm sure it must be something important.
Very well, Miss Marple.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Miss Marple.
Morning.
I thought I'd come up straight away to see if you'd heard the news.
What news, Cherry?
About what happened at the big do at Gossington Hall yesterday.
Well, what did happen?
Somebody died in the middle of it all.
Oh.
And Mrs. Badcock lives round the corner from us. I don't suppose you know her.
Oh, but I do know her. She helped me up when I had my fall the other day. She was very kind.
Some people would call it interfering. Anyway, she up and died, just like that.
But what did she die of?
Search me. As far as I heard, she had a glass of something, and about 5 minutes later she was took bad and died before you could snap your fingers.
How very shocking. Did she suffer from heart trouble?
Sound as a bell, they say. But of course you never know, do you? Anyway, I can tell you this. They've not sent her home.
What do you mean, not sent her home?
The body. The doctor said there'd have to be a post-mortem.
Is her husband terribly upset?
Looks as white as a sheet. Never saw a man so badly hit. To look at, that is to say.
Was he so very devoted to her?
He did what she told him and gave her own way, but that doesn't always mean you're devoted, does it?
No.
It may mean you haven't got the courage to stick up for yourself.
Mrs. Bantry's gone out. She didn't tell anybody where she was going.
I can guess where she's going. She's coming here. I'm getting up.
It all happened so quickly. This woman, whatever her name was...
Heather Badcock.
She arrives full of life and spirit, And about a quarter of an hour later, she sits down on a chair, says she doesn't feel very well, gasps a bit, and dies. I practically saw it happen.
Splendid. I mean, well, you know what I mean. So you can tell me exactly what happened.
Well, they were having a reception upstairs for special guests.
Like you?
Well, yes, if you put it like that. And this Badcock woman was there because of the St. John ambulance, I suppose. Anyway, she and her husband were introduced to Marina Gregg. And then she, Mrs. Badcock, launched out on some long rigmarole about how she met Marina long ago. She wasn't very tactful about it, kept on saying what a long time ago it was. I'm sure that film actresses don't really like being reminded of their age. Still, she wouldn't think of that, I suppose.
No, I don't imagine she was the sort of woman who would, but go on.
Well, the odd thing was that Marina didn't do her stuff.
You mean she was annoyed?
Oh, no, not that. As a matter of fact, I am not at all sure she heard a word the silly woman was saying. She was staring over her shoulder at the wall opposite, staring with... I don't know how to describe it.
Oh, do try, Dolly. I think perhaps that it might be important.
She had a kind of frozen look, as though she'd seen something that...
As though she'd seen what?
Do you remember Tennyson's The Lady of Shalott? The mirror cracked from side to side. The curse has come upon me, cried the Lady of Shalott. Well, that's what she looked like.
She had a frozen look, and she was looking over Mrs. Badcock's shoulder at the wall. What was on the wall?
Picture. A copy of a Bellini Madonna and child.
I can't see that a picture could have that effect on her.
Especially as she must see it every day.
There were still people coming upstairs, I suppose?
Yes, there were. You mean she might have been looking at one of them?
Well, it is possible, isn't it? Who were they, do you remember?
Now, let me see. She'd already met the mayor and the vicar. There was a rather arty-looking girl taking photographs of people having their hands shaken by Marina. There was Dr. Sanford and his wife. There were two people I didn't know at all. A dark, rather forceful-looking man and a woman who might have been an actress. A bit overblown and the minky kind. And then there were the Grices from Lower Farm.
Well, apart from the strangers, it doesn't sound very promising. What happened next?
I think Jason Rudd must have nudged her or something. Because all of a sudden, Marina seemed to pull herself together and smiled at Mrs. Badcock and began to say all the usual things.
And then?
Jason Rudd gave them drinks.
What kind of drinks?
Daiquiris, I think. I didn't see what happened after that.
Why ever not?
Oh, I had to take a gaggle of tiresome women round the rest of the house. Oh. The next thing I knew was when a secretary woman came rushing along and said someone had been taken ill.
And now there's to be an inquest.
And a post-mortem. I suppose the husband's the most likely suspect.
It generally is.
Did you meet him?
Yes, but only for a short time.
Did he look as though he'd like to poison her?
Oh, really, Dolly?
I'll bet you the police will be round on his doorstep like a shot.
I imagine the findings of the inquest must have come as a bit of a shock, Mr. Badcock.
I can't understand it. It's just incredible. What is this stuff she's supposed to have taken? Biethyl?
There's an easier name for it. It's sold under the trade name of Carmo. Ever come across it?
I can't say that I have, Inspector.
It's more commonly used in America than here. Carmo is a happy drug, a tranquilizer, prescribed for people who are under stress or suffering from insomnia. If you stick to the prescribed dose, it's quite safe, but it can be dangerous if you exceed the recommended amount. Your wife had 6 times more than the normal dose.
But Heather would never have taken a thing like that. She was one of the most cheerful women you can imagine. It must have been a mistake of some kind.
It's a very difficult mistake to imagine. What did she have to eat or drink while she was at Gossington Hall?
Well, we had a cup of tea and a bun in the marquee on the lawn. It was a terrible scram in there. But then this young lady came and said Miss Gregg would be pleased to see my wife. And of course, Heather was delighted. She'd been talking of nothing else for days.
And so you went to meet Miss Gregg?
Heather told her the story of how they'd met in the West Indies years ago. Everything seemed as right as rain. And then Mr. Rudd gave Heather a cocktail, a daiquiri, he said it was. And he brought one for Miss Gregg as well.
And what did you have?
Oh, I had a small sherry.
And you three stood drinking together?
Well, no, not exactly. There were more people coming up the stairs. An American couple, I think. So we sort of moved on a bit.
And your wife drank her daiquiri then?
No, she didn't. A woman from the St. John ambulance came up and she put her cocktail down on one of the tables.
So when did she drink it?
The room was getting rather crowded by then, and somebody jogged Heather's elbow and the drink got spilt.
Her glass got spilt?
It went down her dress, and I think it went over Miss Gregg's dress too. Miss Gregg couldn't have been nicer. She gave Heather her handkerchief to wipe her dress, and she passed over the drink she was holding and said, "Have this one, I haven't touched it yet."
She handed your wife her own drink? You're quite sure of that?
Oh, yes. Heather wouldn't take it at first, but Miss Gregg laughed and said, "I've had far too many already."
And then?
Heather turned away and drank it rather quickly. And then we walked a little way along the corridor, looking at the pictures. I met an old pal of mine, Councillor Grigson, and we had a bit of a chat. I happened to look round and saw that Heather was sitting in a chair looking rather odd. Her head was rolling a little, and I asked her what was the matter, and she gave a kind of gasp, and her head fell forward. She was dead. I couldn't believe it.
Dermot Craddock, how are you, my dear boy?
I'm Jane.
Though you're hardly a boy now. What are you? A chief inspector or the new thing they call a commander?
Just a chief inspector, Aunt Jane.
I suppose I need not ask what you're doing down here, but I didn't expect our little local murder to be worthy of the attention of Scotland Yard.
And the chief constable is not so sure it really is a little local murder. He reckons that if someone simply wanted to get rid of Heather Badcock, then a fete at Gossington Hall was a rather odd occasion to choose.
Why run the risk of someone seeing you slip a deadly dose of a drug into a cocktail?
Exactly. So, as soon as I got down here, I came straight round to headquarters.
Meaning me? I'm afraid I'm not very much in touch with things nowadays. I don't get out very often.
You get out enough to fall down on the doorstep of a woman who gets herself murdered 10 days later?
I don't know where you learn these things.
You should know. You told me yourself that in a village everybody knows everything. And just off the record, did you see a look in her husband's eye that reminded you of Harry Simpson or Davy Jones or somebody you'd known years ago who pushed his wife off a precipice?
No, I did not. And I'm sure Mr. Badcock would never do anything of the kind. At least, I'm nearly sure.
But human nature being what it is.
Exactly.
So, where do you think I should start?
Well, not with Mr. Badcock. If I were you, I would have a word with Marina Gregg.
Oh, no, signore. It is not possible. Miss Marina Gregg will see nobody.
Now, look here, Mr...
My name is Giuseppe. I'm the butler.
Look, Giuseppe, surely she must realize that this is a case of suspected murder.
But she's sick, signore. Her own physician says she must see no one. He has written a certificate. Would you like to see it?
No, don't bother. Does she always have her own doctor in attendance?
Always. Dr. Gilchrist has looked after her for many years.
I see. Then could I see Mr. Rudd?
I'm sorry, he's at the studios. But very soon he will be coming back.
I see. In the meantime, perhaps I could have a word with this Dr. Gilchrist?
But certainly, Signore. I will take you to him.
If you were to question Marina now, she'd be in a state of hysteria within minutes. I can't permit that.
And how long is this state of affairs likely to continue?
If you want my opinion, a human one, not a medical opinion, any time within the next 48 hours and she'll be not only willing but asking to see you. Marina's got one of those temperaments that swing to and fro all the time. You must understand, Chief Inspector, that the movie actor's life is one of continuous strain. And the more successful you are, the greater the strain.
Is that why she takes this stuff, Carmo? I presume she does take it.
And lives on it pretty well. They all do. Ella, all of them. There's a bottle of it in most of the bathroom cupboards.
I suppose that it was a considerable shock for her. A sudden death occurring in the middle of a party like that. Or might it be something more?
Well, you can't tell, of course, how people are going to react.
What exactly do you mean by that, Doctor?
I must ask you to keep what I'm going to tell you confidential. Not from your colleagues, of course, but from the outer world. Particularly the people in the house here.
I can't bind myself, but in general terms, yes, I agree.
After this thing happened, she broke down completely. I gave her a sedative and stayed there beside her, holding her hand. Just before she went off into unconsciousness, she said, "It was meant for me."
And afterwards, the following day?
She never alluded to it. When I raised the point, she told me I must have imagined it.
But do you think she meant it?
I'm certain of it. She definitely believed the poison was meant for her.
I appreciate what you've told me, and I realize your motive. If what Marina Gregg told you is true, then her life is still in danger.
That is the whole point.
Have you any idea what her reason for believing it was?
No.
Just one more thing, Doctor. Do you know if she has mentioned this to her husband?
I'm sure she hasn't. That is why, when you speak to him, I ask that you keep what I've told you confidential.
Can I offer you a drink, Inspector?
Not just now, thank you.
Not the house to take a drink in, is that what you're thinking?
As a matter of fact, it wasn't what I was thinking.
Oh, please sit down.
Thank you.
Well, what do you want to know? What can I tell you?
I've just been talking to Dr. Gilchrist. He informs me that your wife is not yet strong enough to be asked questions.
I doubt if there is anything my wife could tell you that you could not learn equally from me.
Do you have any previous acquaintance with the dead woman, Heather Badcock?
None whatever.
But she claimed to have known your wife.
Oh, yes. Some 12 or 13 years ago in Bermuda. As soon as Mrs. Badcock was introduced to Marina, she burst into a long rigmarole of how, although she was suffering from a flu at the time, she'd managed to go along and get my wife's autograph.
Now, I've been told that your wife looked rather distressed during the time that Heather Badcock was speaking to her. Was that the case?
Very possibly. Marina is not particularly strong. Toward the end of a long day, she is inclined to flag. I do remember that she was a little slow in making her reply to Mrs. Badcock. I think I nudged her slightly on the elbow.
Do you think that something had diverted her attention? Could she have noticed an unwelcome guest?
Not that I know of. As I say, it was probably just tiredness.
Has it occurred to you, Mr. Rudd, that the poisoning of Heather Badcock may have been entirely accidental? That the intended victim was your wife?
Yes, it has occurred to me. In fact, I've been sure of it all along.
But you said nothing to that effect at the inquest. Why not?
I didn't want my wife to think she had narrowly escaped dying by poison.
I'm not sure that I entirely understand your reason for keeping silent.
Well, perhaps it is a little difficult to appreciate. Marina is incapable of taking a rational, prudent view of life. In her previous marriages, she expected, like a child reading a fairy story, to live happy ever afterwards.
And she didn't.
There are some women who can take the failure of a marriage fairly lightly, but Marina wasn't capable of that. She became obsessed with the notion that nothing would ever go right for her. She was wildly anxious to have children, and no children came. A celebrated physician advised her to adopt a child. He thought that that might diminish the tensions that prevented her conceiving. Marina adopted no less than 3 children. But for her, it was never the real thing. Now, you can imagine her joy when 11 years ago she found that she was going to have a child. She was in good health and there was good reason for everything to go well. As you may or may not know, the child was born mentally deficient and imbecile. Marina couldn't cope with it. She had a complete breakdown and was ill for years.
And it was then that she met you.
Mm-hmm. I managed to get her to take an interest in life again, but the real problem was getting her back into pictures. It was quite a battle, but we managed it, and as you know, shooting has already started. Everything was going well until that woman had to die. Here. I couldn't risk Marina getting to know an attempt had been made on her life. It would have precipitated another collapse. Do you understand now?
Yeah, I see your point of view. But isn't there something you're forgetting?
Hmm?
If the poison really was meant for your wife, then the killer will try again.
Well, naturally, I've considered that. But now that I've been forewarned, I can take precautions for her safety.
And you're sure that she doesn't suspect the poison was meant for her?
Such an idea would never occur to her.
So, whom do you suggest?
I can't tell you.
Do you mean you can't, or you won't?
Can't. It seems impossible that anyone would dislike her enough to kill her.
But surely you can't get where she has in the film business without making enemies.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of enmity and jealousy in our world. But to do a thing like that...
But there must be something beyond petty dislike and envy. Is there anyone your wife has injured in the past?
Well, honestly, I don't think so. And I may say I've given the matter a good deal of thought.
A love affair somewhere?
I suppose Marina has occasionally treated men badly, but I can think of nothing to cause lasting ill will.
Can you think of any woman who might have a lasting grudge against her?
Nobody offhand. But you can never tell with women.
Who would benefit financially by your wife's death?
Myself, of course. And looking at it from a different angle, the actress who might replace her in the film.
There's one more thing I'd like you to do for me. Now, I need a list of every single person who was in the room and on the stairs at the time of the murder.
Oh, you would do far better to consult my secretary, Ella Zielinski, about that. She will have a note of all the people who were invited, and she has a most accurate memory.
That's the best I can do, I'm afraid. I can't guarantee that all the local people invited actually turned up.
Mm-hmm. A very efficient piece of work. What does your job involve exactly? Are you a kind of liaison officer between the studios and Gossington Hall?
No, I've nothing to do with the studios, thank God. My job is to look after Miss Gregg's public and private engagements and to supervise the running of the house.
You like the job?
It's extremely well paid, and I find it reasonably interesting. I didn't bargain for murder, though. You really are sure it's murder?
6 times the dose of diethyl, whatever. It could hardly be called anything else.
But couldn't it have been an accident?
And how could such an accident have occurred?
More easily than you'd imagine. What with all the bottles and powders and capsules these people carry about with them, and what with popping in a tranquilizer here and a pep pill somewhere else, don't you think it would be easy enough for the whole thing to get mixed up?
I don't see how it could apply in this case.
Well, I think it could. Suppose one of the guests wanted a sedative or a reviver and put too much in the glass. Then they put the glass down and go off somewhere and Mrs. What's-her-name comes along, thinks it's her glass and picks it up and drinks it.
But we know that the glass that Mrs. Badcock drank out of was Marina Gregg's own glass.
Or what she thought was her own glass. She'd pick up any glass that looked as though it was hers. I've seen her do it again and again.
Is Miss Gregg a difficult person to work for?
I'm sorry.
Bless you.
Blessing won't help. It's hay fever. I'm not used to the country. Marina's a great artist. And because of that, it's quite a privilege to work for her. Taken personally, of course, she's hell.
What kind of hell?
She's no kind of moderation. Everything is always terrifically exaggerated, and she changes her mind all the time. And there are an enormous lot of things that can never be mentioned because they upset her.
Such as?
Well, naturally, a mental breakdown and anything to do with children.
Children? In what way?
Well, it upsets her to see children or to hear of people being happy with children. I guess you've heard about her own child.
But you'd think that after all these years...
It's an obsession with her. She broods on it.
What does Mr. Rudd feel about it?
Oh, it wasn't his child. It was her previous husband, Isidore Wrights.
And where is he now?
Married again and lives in Florida.
Would you say that Marina Gregg made many enemies during her life?
Not more than most. There are always rows over other women or other men or over contracts. And...
She wasn't afraid of anyone?
Marina? Why should she be?
Well, just a thought. I can see I've got a lot to learn about the film business.
Smiles all round, the happy faces of Marina's adopted children transported to a life of luxury in the Hollywood sunshine of a fabulous Beverly Hills villa.
Well, I never. What on earth are you reading?
It's called Movie News, I think.
News from the stars? Hollywood scandals. Where on earth did you get this lot?
From the hairdressers. Mrs. Jameson was glad to get rid of them.
But what are you reading them for?
I'm trying to instruct myself in the moving picture world.
Oh, fantastic lives they lead.
Specialised lives. It reminds me very much of the things a hospital nurse friend of mine used to tell me. The same simplicity of outlook and all the gossip and the rumours and good-looking doctors causing any amount of havoc.
I suppose it's Marina Gregg coming to live at Gossington Hall set you off on all this.
That and the sad event that happened there.
It's a funny old business, isn't it? I mean, I don't see who could have murdered her except her husband. And he's such a weak type. Still, the worm will turn, as they say.
Poor Mr. Badcock.
And people are saying he was upset and nervy at the fate that day before it happened. Is that Inspector friend of yours? I'll take the Hoover upstairs. Morning, Inspector.
Good morning. Good morning, Aunt Jane.
Good morning, Dermot.
Doing your homework, I see. Is all that bump giving you any ideas?
Well, yes, there is one question I should like to ask.
And what's that?
What about the children?
Children? There's only one, and he's in a sanatorium somewhere in America.
Oh, no, that's not what I mean. I'm talking about the children in this article here. Two boys and a girl adopted by Marina Gregg. One was a foreign refugee and one was an American child. I don't know about the other. I'd like to find out what happened to them.
Yes, I did vaguely wonder about them myself. But how do you connect them with this business?
Well, as far as I can find out, they're not living with her now, are they?
I expect they were well provided for.
So when she got tired of them, they were thrown out. Children feel things more than people ever imagine. The sense of hurt, of being rejected, of not belonging anymore. It's the sort of thing that might rankle.
Yes, but isn't it a bit far-fetched to think...
Oh, I haven't got as far as that. I just wondered where they were now and how old they would be. Grown up, I should imagine.
Well, there's no harm in checking up.
But do you have any positive leads yourself?
Miss Zielinski.
Hmm?
The secretary at Gossington Hall.
Oh.
She's given me a list of all the people who were in the house at the time of the murder. I've got Cornish checking through it now.
And what about Marina's husband? I believe you went to see him.
There's not much escapes you, is there? I'm not so sure about Jason Rudd. He says that Marina mustn't know that she was the intended victim, but I'm pretty sure she knows very well.
And that she may have an idea who it was that did it.
It could be that the motive behind the attack is something she doesn't want to come to her husband's ear.
And what about the secretary woman? Is she in love with the husband, do you think?
I should imagine so. What put that idea into your head?
Well, it so often happens.
I suppose it's a possible motive.
But I'd still like to know more about those children.
You've got quite a bee in your bonnet about them, haven't you? All right, I'll find out. I suppose it's perfectly possible one of them put in a surprise appearance at the fete.
It would have been enough to make the mirror crack.
I suppose it might. But I'd better see how Inspector Cornish is progressing with that list.
I suppose it couldn't possibly have been the mayor.
Wishful thinking?
You could certainly call it that. Pompous, canting old hypocrite. He's been knee-deep in graft for years.
Tempting. But I think you'll have to banish that rosy picture from your mind, Frank.
Well then, who else have we got? The Grices? I don't think they've ever been away from St. Mary Mead. The girl Margot Bentz, who was taking the photographs, had been there at least half an hour, so it doesn't seem likely that she would have come as a surprise to Marina.
What about the film people who were there?
Well, they're certainly more promising. Ardwick Fenn. He's a very big number in the film industry. Had some kind of an affair with Marina at the time she was married to her second husband.
Quite possible, I should say. Particularly if he was paying her a surprise visit.
And then there's the sexy-looking blonde. She's Lola Brewster. She was once married to Marina's third husband. He got a divorce from her in order to marry Marina. Not a very amicable divorce, either. I'd put her down as number one.
I'm not so sure. I mean, think of the difficulties, Frank.
How do you mean?
She's a famous film star. All the locals would be looking at her. Well, she wouldn't have much of a chance to slip something in Marina's glass without being noticed.
That's true enough.
I suppose that butler chap, Giuseppe, he might have had a chance to do it. He was helping with the drinks when he wasn't announcing the names of the people who were coming in.
There was a woman helping out too, Gladys somebody or other. We've got a long way to go. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Cornish. Yes, he's here, I'll tell him. It's Gossington Hall. Marina Gregg's feeling better and would like to see you.
Tell them I'm on my way, before she has a chance to change her mind.